More on that in a minute. But as promised, we're joined now by the manager of the Houston Astros. He led them to their first World Series title last season. He is a two-time Pac-10 Player of the Year at Stanford, a member of the Stanford Athletics Hall of Fame, very good friend of the program. Houston's 48-25. They're in first in the AL West. Houston hosts Tampa tonight, 8:10 p.m. Eastern. A.J. Hinch is my guest. A.J., it's great to have you back. Nice to have you on. A.J., how are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you doing?
Skip, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining me once again. You beat Kansas City yesterday 7-4. That was your 11th straight win. It caps off a perfect 10-0 road record or 10-0 road trip. Look, AJ, winning is tough enough. Going undefeated on a 10-game road trip is even tougher. How much pride do you take in that trip overall?
Oh, it was incredible. And we did it in a couple of different ways. I mean, we jumped out of a couple teams and blew them out. We also won some close games late. We won on a balk call in the ninth inning in Texas. Carlos Correa, Evan Gattis, Marwin Gonzalez were stars of the trip. Mixing a couple Verlander starts and a couple Cole starts. I mean, we've got a good thing going right now, and we just kind of take care of business. You know, is that the way our team is, the vibe around our team, the just that feeling you get when you come in the clubhouse is that you're going to win, and I think that comes from a couple of years of winning in a row. Our guys have a pretty good way about them, and we're playing pretty good.
A.J. Hinch joining us. You know, something I loved yesterday was when you trailed 4-3 in the eighth inning. I mean, it would have been very easy for guys to unconsciously at least say, 9-1 is a real good road trip. Let's get on home. But they didn't. Correa homers to tie it. Right. Evan Gattis gives you that lead for good. What's that say about the competitive attitude of this team that it didn't give in that moment?
Oh, yeah. No, and it was like 100. I mean, the hottest place on earth felt like Kansas City.
Right.
You know, yesterday at Kauffman Stadium, it was so hot. And our guys, and it is easy at the end of a long road, just the longest road trip of the year. And we'd already secured the series win. You know, you can concede. They got Kelvin Herrera down in the bullpen. So I think everybody was anticipating him coming in the ninth. And Correa just steps up, takes a fastball, hits it about 400 feet to left field and says, wake up, boys. We have more games to play. And the dugout woke up. We put a couple good at-bats together. We end up, you know, getting a pretty decent, comfortable win and getting on a plane, having a happy flight, and getting home to Houston for a nice little homestand.
Houston.
So I'm not going to complain with how we win. We can win early. We can win late. As long as at the end of the day we shake hands, we win.
Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch is my guest. You know, when you and I spoke in spring training, we talked about the experience of winning it all last season. Now that you're almost halfway through the season, does last season feel like ancient history, or does the experience of winning a world championship carry over and impact you and the players this year?
Well, we have to talk about it a lot, and we're not even done giving out our championship rings yet. We got a couple players that are going to come through Houston over the course of this month, and we're going to give their rings to them in a ceremony. So it's still out there, and our guys do a pretty good job of kind of letting it go. I mean, every now and then you got to pop on the ring and go do an event, or you got to talk to some people and talk about how it was. But we have a pretty focused group of players that love the taste of winning and want to do it again. So I rely on the players to sort of police the love affair with 2017. Our organization's done a good job of celebrating it enough, but not letting it get in the way. And honestly, I think our team, and it started in spring training with Verlander, taking exception to people talking about every other team but ours. Like, the championship trophy sits in our stadium, and we feel like we've got another good chance to make a good run, try to win the division and make another run at it. So there's still a little chip on our shoulder, which I love, that our guys, you know, want to be the best in baseball. And obviously it takes a lot of wins and it takes a long season, and we got a lot to do and all that stuff. But, you know, right now we're playing with a ton of confidence and we feel like the team to beat.
A.J. Hinch is my guest. I'm glad you mentioned Verlander. In fact, you and I did talk about him in spring training as well. And we talked about the impact of having him in spring training and a full season versus him joining in the middle of this season. Now, he's got an ERA of 1.61. He's got a whip of 0.76. He's top four in the American League in at least six categories. What do you make of what he's done so far this season?
You know, it's funny. I get asked a lot of questions about JV, and rightfully so, but a lot of it is about his mentorship and his presence and his Hall of Fame credentials and what he brings to the clubhouse. And I like the guy that loves the little emoji, raises his hand like, hey, wait a minute, let's talk about his pitching. This is dominating every aspect of pitching. And what he does on the field is going to be more important than what he's doing behind the scenes. But he's the complete package of preparation to execution to wanting to help his teammates. I see him studying film of his teammates. He hangs with the boys. He's not, you know, sort of an elitist who's out on his own and doing his own program. He's intertwined with everybody. He does everything with everybody. And I love the way that he goes about it. And, you know, it's influential because if he's going to have that kind of attention span to his teammates and to the greater good of everybody, then people fall in line. I mean, I've seen, whether it's position player, Latin American, pitcher, young guy, old guy, you know, we all lean on JV for something. But me personally, I lean on him for every 5 days, go out and be the best pitcher in the American League, which is what he's been.
Yeah, something else he said, quote, "I'm processing information at a much higher level than I ever have in my career," end quote. You know, what about that, AJ, this ability to process information, the mental side of things? Is that something you can teach other players, or is that something a player has and has to develop on his own?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I think you can try to explain it, but for the most part, I think what JV's alluding to is he's maturing still, and he's still learning. And a lot of people think these guys can show up at the field. We expect Jose Altuve, oh, he's going to roll out two or three hits. He's constantly trying to get better. JV the same way. He's had to go from dominant fastball pitcher to kind of a little bit of rock bottom a couple of years ago where he was struggling to get through five, six innings to now being elite and dominating with a mixture of his pitches and still having 97 in his tank. So I think as he's matured and as he's learning the game, it's no different than you've done it in your life, I'm sure, in broadcasting. I do it in playing and managing. You know, you look back and go, dang, I wish I would have known that then. I would have been a better version of myself. And instead, I've just had to go through a few things in order to learn more about the game. And the one lesson I think everybody can learn from Justin Verlander about baseball is that you have to keep evolving, you have to keep learning, you have to keep challenging yourself if you want to be a dude. If you want to just have a good career, you can do the same thing over and over again, and your talent will probably get you through. If you want to be a guy, you want to be a true kind of Renaissance man, so to speak, across the generations of baseball that you play, got to evolve with the times, and he's doing that.
AJ, I love what you just said, that if you want to be a dude, you've got to do all these things if you want to be a dude. We talk about that a lot, even in horse racing. Me and the guys get together, and if we see a horse that we love, that we have, we're like, man, he's a dude. Even from an equine standpoint, can you explain what you mean by that, that if you want to be a dude, when you're talking about a dude, what are you talking about?
I'm just talking about the guy. You walk into the stadium, and when it's his day to pitch, you have your guys that are out there going, we are going to do everything possible to win. And you have your opponent that's going, we better lock in with this guy because, you know, we have a chance, but we only have a small chance. And that's the it factor that we talk about in athletes. When you go into to play LeBron, when you go into play Brady, when you go into to if you're going to lock horns in golf with Spieth or one of the guys, you better lock in like 100% of your attention on that guy. And that's a dude to me. When Justin Verlander's pitching and it's tomorrow, the Rays and us will both be locked in because of his presence. And that's earned over time, and it's earned over performance, and it's what guys should strive for to be in this game.
AJ Hinch joins us for a few more moments. Let me ask you about this. Recently, there's been a lot of talk about defensive shifts and maybe making them illegal. I mean, when you look at the game right now, AJ, is there a problem with defensive shifts, or is it the fact that the guys are struggling to beat them? Is that the problem?
Yeah, I think it's the problem with offensive approach. I mean, it's, you know, I think you, again, like talking about evolving in the game, I mean, it's, I understand where the defenses are, but the defenses are only positioned in places that where they think you're going to hit it. If you can develop the skills to hit the ball all over the place, then we can't play five or six or seven guys on the right side of second base. We have to honor all aspects. I mean, it's, you know, again, in football terms, if you can't throw the ball, we're going to stack the line. If you can't run the ball, we're going to put everybody deep and defend the pass. I mean, it's no different in our sport. So I think the problem is that the hitters have to make an adjustment and try to beat the game as opposed to complain about the shift. I think in hitting is not supposed to be a layup drill. It's not supposed to be something that's really easy. It's not, you know, we don't want to just put everybody equally positioned around so that we have all these holes in the field where the game can be easily played. So I say just lock in with trying to beat the game as opposed to worrying about where I put them. If I put six outfielders out there, then you do have a bunt. You do have a ground ball to the left side or right side, depending on where the opening is. Figure it out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it seems to me, is this too simplistic? It seems to me it'd be like banning a pitcher from throwing breaking balls to a guy who you know can't hit breaking balls.
Well, I'd still be playing if they would do that, Jim. I could hit a fastball. If I could have gotten him to ban that would have been a much better career for me.
That's great. A.J. Hinch is the manager of the Astros. He led them to their first World Series, but that was last season. They are playing great baseball right now, and they're coming off an amazing road trip. A.J., I appreciate you so much. Great to have you back. Thank you very much, and always great to have you on this show.
Yeah, great. Coming on anytime.
You got it, A.J. Thank you. Can't have him enough. A.J. Hinch joining us. They're 48-25. They're in first in the AL West, and Tampa is at Houston tonight. So many good things out of that conversation.